Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Here we are in the third week of Advent, and I want to ask you, I can't tell you how much I pray for you, and I want to ask you, are you really responding to the grace that God has for you during this season? There is great grace, like Mary, to say yes to him. There's great grace to repent of your sin and to know the mercy of God. Please, don't hide your sin. Don't excuse your sin. Just look at it. Face it. And repent for it. And you're set free. This is a year of mercy. This is a season of longing and yearning for the coming of Christ. As you prepare your home to serve guests, how are you preparing your heart to receive Jesus? Please, please pay attention. You and I need all the grace we can receive. That is, grace is God sharing his life with us. We need that grace, and sin blocks its entrance into our lives. We want to remove the sin that we might receive the living life. That sounds strange, but the life that is vibrant with living, that is life itself, that life that desires to dwell in us and to be with us, we want it. Seek it, long for it, and be willing to throw out those things that impede or darken his presence in you. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John of the Cross, such a marvelous, marvelous holy man. He said at one point, John the Baptist, he said, "Do not commit a mortal sin for all there is in the world." Don't commit any mortal sin, no matter what the world would offer you. Don't ever. And if you do, please repent quickly. Or any deliberate venial sin. Endeavor to remain always in the presence of God, as is permitted by your work. Remain always in the presence of God. Some people, every time the clock chimes, if you have a clock that indicates the hour, some people just say, "Lord, thank you for your presence. Be with me for this next hour. Be with me for this next period of time." And God really responds to that. And he draws nearer and nearer as you are faithful. He will do that. Perhaps that's something that you should do in your life. He says here, "Do nothing nor say any word that Christ would not have done or said were he right here with you, being in the same state as you are, as old as you are, with the same kind of health as you have. What would Jesus say?" You know that old phrase that's been going around in the country. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? We need to ask ourselves that. Do nothing or say any notable word that Christ would not have done or said were he in the same state as we are. Strive for the greater honor and glory of God in all things. In all things. There are many other things he says, but those are enough for right now. Take stock. Because what I hope is that after this Advent, there will be one practice, at least one, but one clear practice that you will incorporate into your daily life that's not just for Advent or for Lent, but it's something that becomes part of your daily life as a result of developing the habit during Advent, something that will turn you back to God, remind you of God, remind you of his goodness, remind you of his love and his mercy, so that you can not only receive it, but be a conduit for it. Today, the first reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verses 2 to 7 and 15 to 17. When Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he gave voice to his oracle. "The utterance of Balaam, son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eye is true, the utterance of one who hears what God says and knows what the Most High knows, of one who sees what the Almighty sees, enraptured and with eyes unveiled. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. They are like gardens beside a stream, like the cedars planted by the Lord. His wells shall yield free-flowing waters. He shall have the sea within reach. His king shall rise higher, and his royalty shall be exalted. He's prophesying the future kingdom of the Messiah. And then Balaam again gave voice to his oracle, the utterance of Balaam, son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eye is true, the utterance of one who hears what God says and knows what the Most High knows, of one who sees what the Almighty sees, enraptured and with eyes unveiled. I see him. Sees him in his heart. His faith is so real. I see him, though not now. In other words, I don't see him in the flesh. I don't see him, but I see him. And I behold him, though he is not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel. He's prophesying the coming of the Messiah, the star of Jacob. That's what came. That's what guided the shepherds. And a staff shall rise from Israel, the three kings. Staff means a sign of authority. The Messiah would come. Here's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the coming of the Messiah. Here was the prophecy that God would save his people. And for generations upon generations upon generations, people waited and longed and yearned to see what they did not see. But you live in the era when Christ has come, when Christ is present. And the Messiah has come. Do you believe? Do you live out of that reality? That what people longed for thousands of years, you have. You live with the living God. You have the sign of his life, his death, and resurrection to prove his love to you. And still we reject it. There are Jews who for thousands of years pleaded for the coming of the Messiah, who sought the scriptures, who tried to discern what God was doing and how God would act. You're the recipients of it. We should be forever grateful every moment. The sign of our hope has come. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Not my own way, but teach me your ways. Show me the way you want me to go. And the gospel is the gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 to 27. When Jesus had come into the temple area, the chief priests and the elders of the people approached him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" You can just hear it, can't you? You're standing on my territory, as if the temple were his or theirs. A group of people. Our pride is so strong, isn't it? Instead of really listening, they're immediately threatened and they're immediately fighting back. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Because they think they can trip them up right there. And Jesus said to them in reply, "I shall ask you one question, and if you answer it for me, then I shall tell you by what authority I do these things." So Jesus corrects their questions. This is the question Jesus asked. Where was John's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin? Is John the Baptist sent by God, or is he just another human being? They discussed this among themselves and said, "If we say he's of heavenly origin, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say he's of human origin, then we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." They're caught, and they're caught because they're listening to other people. They're not looking for the truth. They're trying to find their way through different positions, and they want to please everybody. How many times do we get ourselves into that quagmire? And so they're stymied. They won't go out on a limb. They're not really seeking the truth. They're just seeking to protect their own authority. That's all they're doing. So they said to Jesus in reply, "We do not know." And they thought they would get out from under. And he himself said to them, neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things. If you're not going to be honest with me, I'm not going to enter into a debate if you're not willing to seek for the truth. I'm not willing to tell you all that I believe because you are operating out of your pride. You're not operating out of a desire to know the truth. You're trying to find a loophole where you can attack me. I'm not going to give you that right. Jesus was peaceful, but Jesus was clear. Brothers and sisters, you and I are committed to the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know him, live in the truth of who God is and the truth of who I am, the truth of who you are. Live in the truth. Read the Gospels. Ponder the Scriptures. You'll see clearly who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. You're not just one of billions of people. You're the Lord's son or daughter whom he dearly loves. He would have loved those chief priests and those elders. He would have given them mercy if they had come to him in truth. But they didn't. And they refused. And not only did they refuse, they started to attack him and to persecute and to look for an opportunity to destroy. That's what happens when we follow our own pride and when we stand on our own laurels, so to speak. That's not our position, brothers and sisters. We're sons and daughters of God. That's a position of royalty. But as a son or a daughter of God, we obey our Father, the King. We obey the Lord and Savior. And when we do, we're not bound up, we're set free. That's what happens. It seems contradictory, because when we try to do all kinds of things here, we get ourselves into trouble. But with God, if we follow him, we follow his word, we do what he asks, we will be set free. We will not be bound. You will be amazed at what God does for you. He's come in the flesh to make that possible. We celebrate that event, not as a past event, but as a present reality. Jesus Christ comes every moment to us who are open. He comes every moment as Savior to us. All we have to do is cry out to him, Jesus, come and save me. And he will come and save you. Do what he asks you to do when he comes, but he will come. He will save you. There's a world out there, brothers and sisters, dark and growing darker. There's a world out there bound up and imprisoned who's succumbed to all kinds of lies, all kinds of confusion. And they can't see, they can't hear, they can't taste, they can't smell. They think they do, but they can't because they're bound up in lies. God wants to be light to the world, and he wants to do it through us. It's through our truth, through our honesty, through our yieldedness to him, that he will set people free. May God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.